About to bring up Dr. Doug Rocky, a man of incredible courage, sent in by the Pentagon, basically, I guess, to whitewash things. He wouldn't do it. He got sick himself. He has an incredible resume and background. And there's a lot of other top scientists now researching and looking at this. The evidence is conclusive. It's finally broken in the New York Daily News and then picked up by a lot of British papers. But still, neocon liars get on the radio and say it's some type of liberal lie, when in truth, they are the socialist pimps, the fascist control freaks, whatever you want to call them. But to introduce Dr. Rocky is a lady who's been on the forefront of the depleted uranium since she got on the air, I don't know, 8-something years ago. Captain Joyce Riley, a veteran herself, who has really helped push this to the forefront. Joyce, good to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure, Alex. I really want to give the credit to Dr. Doug Rocky, because he has been probably the bravest person for the veterans that anybody can imagine. What he has done and what he is still doing is just beyond belief. I mean, you've got people with eagles on their shoulders that are doing nothing, with stars on their shoulders that are doing nothing, but he has come forward. And enough of me, but I just want to say that my hat is off to him, and we salute him from the American Gulf War Veterans Association because of the truth that Dr. Rocky is telling. Now, he was originally involved in the depleted uranium cleanup project. Now, there's a lot of things floating around, a lot of people who don't want him speaking out, and I have the actual documents proving everything he is about to tell you. So I just want to say thank you very much for having me on, and I just want to hear what Dr. Doug Rocky has to say.
And there's been a lot of new developments. Doctor, good to have you on. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. In a nutshell, encapsulate what's happened and give us the latest developments.
Well, from the very beginning, I was been in the military since 1967. They finally put me on the retirement list in September of 2003, so that's just a few years. Served in Vietnam, went back to Desert Storm, National Guard, Army Reserve, combat medic, medical team leader, health physicist, medical planner, operations, weapons of mass destruction, intel officer, kind of like everything over the last 36 years. During Gulf War I, I was a member of the famed Bowers Raiders. We were the theater, nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare special operations team. And then with the completion of the ground war and the use of uranium munitions, General Schwarzkopf's chief of staff reassigned me by director from the Pentagon to clean up the depleted uranium mess. In 94 and 95, after we had started the United States Army Environmental Policy Institute report, and I'd written numerous reports, I was recalled to active duty as the U.S. Army and ended up being NATO project, depleted uranium project director, to develop all the environmental remediation procedures, the education and training, and the emergency response procedures for the use of uranium munitions by the U.S. and NATO forces.
What did you find in your in-depth investigations?
Well, firsthand experience during Gulf War I is that all of us, even though myself and my team were wearing respiratory and skin protection, we came down with the respiratory and rash problems within 24 to 48 hours, and we have had them ever since. We found that the uranium contamination was so extensive that you absolutely must, and this is absolutely adopted by the United States Department of Defense and NATO, that you must wear full respiratory and skin protection within 50 meters of any destroyed building, vehicle, equipment, anything that you have that's been shot up.
By the way, we have the Army training video posted for free. You can go watch it. A long clip of it. It's, as Joyce said, 8 hours long, but we have a large clip of it, where they admit everything you're saying, and they have this from 93 studies, and then they put this out in 95, but they won't show it to the troops.
That is correct, because although I had the responsibility and I did all the research, first-hand research, not only in Gulf War I, but I went to the Nevada test site, Mercury, Nevada, U.S. Department of Energy. I burned up vehicles loaded with uranium munitions. I shot up all kinds of Soviet equipment and uranium munitions, measured the contamination, determined how and if we could clean it up, which virtually you can't do, and we put it all together. And as a consequence of all my work, it came out very, very clear. Number one, all uranium, depleted uranium or radioactive materials contamination must be cleaned up, and that is required by United States Army Regulation 700-48.
And this is all before Gulf War II, when they use massive more amounts than what they use in the first Gulf War.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this it's management equipment contaminated depleted uranium and radioactive commodities. This regulation is signed by General Eric Shinseki himself. Okay, cut and dry. They acknowledge the health and environmental effects. They direct that all of it be isolated, secured, properly disposed of. But what has happened all over, whether it be in Vieques, Puerto Rico, Concord, Massachusetts, Jefferson Primogon, Indiana, Aberdeen, Maryland, throughout Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Okinawa, all the contamination is left there.
Serbia, too.
Serbia and Balkans, in 93 and 94, I wrote up the management cleanup plans for 94 and 95 use, and then they went back in 1999. Even though several of us had been called up to the White House with the Presidential Oversight Board under Senator Warren Rudman and Admiral Elmo Zumwalt, who's now deceased, and we warned them, said, you can't do it. Well, they don't care. They used it because uranium munitions are extremely effective in combat.
But the chicken hawks don't care, but they're actually sending some of the chicken hawks to be in these palaces that were heavily bombarded by it. What's wrong with them?
Well, they don't care. And what has happened now...
They don't even care about themselves.
They don't care about anything. You know, as a consequence of Gulf War I and the cleanup and the medical operations at Friendly Fire, we had a 424 individuals that I submitted names and numbers for that the Pentagon, i.e. the Secretary of Defense, told the President of the United States that required medical care. However, as September 28th of 1999, even though they knew there were 424, Deputy Secretary of Defense Kilpatrick, the guy that's screwing up medical right now, had only notified 120. And as of last Thursday, when I was receiving medical care at my VA hospital for adverse effects from uranium exposure, I picked up the Gulf War review by the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, and in here it stated on page 9 that, quote, total number of veterans tested for exposure to depleted uranium, 262.
Now, doctor, I mean, you were the head of the program. You wrote the studies. You were there with the other scientists, the other doctors. For those that just joined us, explain to them what depleted uranium is. That might be a good thing to talk about.
Depleted uranium is the byproduct of the uranium enrichment process by which we remove the fissionable components, that's uranium-234 and 235, that are used to make nuclear weapons and nuclear reactor fuel. For every 100 pounds of the radioactive isotope complex, uranium-238, 234, and 235, that goes into the enrichment process at Paducah, Kentucky, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and Portsmouth, Ohio, you can remove 0.6 pounds that's usable for nuclear weapons or reactor fuel construction. As a consequence, of every 100 pounds of solid you go in there, you have 99.4 pounds that is radioactive waste that is processed and made into depleted uranium for use in munitions, for use in counterweights and ballast in all of our commercial aircraft. It's actually being used to put into concrete that is sold to the general public under what's called DU-crete. In other words, the U.S. Department of Energy has over 1 million metric tons of the stuff they want to get away.
So what they do is when they have a toxic waste, whether it be sodium fluoride or depleted uranium, they just put it out there as a precious commodity.
Absolutely. And then, and because it's such an extremely effective combat tool, because what it's formed into is solid uranium rods. They're giant darts. The Abrams tank fires a uranium dart that each and every dart is solid uranium, and each and every dart is over 10 pounds per dart.
Unbelievable.
And then the A-10 Warthog aircraft, which is just, you know, blew up the neighborhoods in Baghdad.
They use the Vulcan cannon on that.
Yeah, that fires a uranium rod. Each individual rod is 3/4 pound of solid uranium with a slight copper shielding, and it fires at a rate of 4,000 rounds per minute on target. That's 1.5 tons of solid uranium on target per minute.
And in the first Gulf War, they just used it in certain areas. Now they use it all over these populated areas. What's the half-life? How long are these areas going to be contaminated?
Well, the areas are going to be contaminated for eternity. Unless you physically remove all of the contamination, which is required by Army Regulation 700-48 and the Technical Bulletin 9-1300-278, unless you physically isolate, secure, remove, and dispose of this in a massive deep hole that can't get to water contamination, can't get to anything, it will affect everybody forever.
And then where do you put the blasted out tanks and structures? I mean, this stuff turns to aerosolized powder, does it not, Doctor, on impact, so it's impossible.
That is correct. And what happened during Gulf War I We had 16 Abrams tanks and 15 Bradley fighting vehicles that were all destroyed with friendly fire or maintenance. You know, something went wrong with not six of the tanks, you know, where they blew up and burned on their own. You know, one day you had a bad day. It took my team 3 months to process 24 vehicles for shipment back to the United States. And we buried a whole lot in the desert in Saudi Arabia with the body parts that I couldn't get out. And then once they were sent back, the 24 vehicles were sent back to the United States Department of Energy, Savannah River Sites, Defense Consolidation Facility, it took them 3 years in a multi-million dollar facility, the only facility of its kind in the world, to process those 24 vehicles for disposal.
So what are the health effects? And I want to get into these new scientists. The New York Daily News hired, you know, top scientists to look at this and said, oh, yeah, these troops are contaminated with it. What are the health effects of it from your studies? And then I want to get into the latest developments and then the cover-up, because that's – and then Joyce, of course, can speak on that. Jump at any time, Joyce. But, Doctor, please continue.
Okay, what happened is the health effects, the first health effects that we saw – and again, this is documented going back to October of 1943 during the Manhattan Project. I talked to the Manhattan Project scientists that verified this was known then. You know, they're like 90 years old today. Okay, and Joyce, you've had some of their mentors on your show already, Dr. Loren Murray.
Yes, we have.
And what has happened is the first thing we saw on ourselves, and which was reported throughout Gulf War I and Gulf War II, was the respiratory. It acts like a bronchitis. You have it all the respiratory problems. The next thing that showed up is a rash. That has showed up in Gulf War I, it's in Gulf War II, and on these kids that you've mentioned right now, and all the civilians. Then over a period of time, you have the radiation causing damage, what's called calcified granulomas. They actually damage the lung tissue. We have absolutely confirmed chromosomal damage. That is, the DNA and the chromosomes are damaged by the radiation, ionizing radiation that affects the cells. And you have all of the health effects that go on down. Then you have cataracts with the radiation. You have all the kidney problems that documented in us that have, again, the new guys now have already documented happening to them. And then you have all the birth defects, and you have the cancers. The first cancer on one of my team members started in the nasal and pharyngeal passageway within 9 months. The first lung cancers and deaths were within 2 years, and they continue.
Unbelievable. And the government knows about this. Joyce, you've had guests on who've been there at the hearings, and the generals just tell the troops, we don't care what the truth is. We follow orders, and yeah, we know what's going on. So what? Joyce, how do these – what's wrong with the globalists? Why did they almost enjoy this? It's like Bill Clinton with the tainted HIV blood knowingly shipping it around the world. I mean, why do they do this?
Well, I think you've got a means to an end here. And like Doug has said many times, you know, they want to kill things, kill people and break things. And the best way to do it is with depleted uranium. So until they have something better, they don't care what the effects of it are going to be. Now, I do want to say that Europe is concerned about this right now. We have a major interest from Italy, from Australia, from France, from Greece. And I know Dr. Rocky has just been in Australia and really set fire under the people there.
We're going to talk about that. I mean, and here's another question for both of you. How do we attack Iraq for weapons of mass destruction while our government is bombarding all, you know, these countries with this stuff and using it in our own country?
Well, first off, let's make it loud and clear. Prior to Gulf War I, Iraq did possess chemical and biologic munitions and anthrax. That was provided to them by the United States Army, the United States of America. That is confirmed in the Regal Commission report prepared by James Toot for Senator Regal. And that was subject of a made-for-TV movie we called Did Thanks for a Grateful Nation, starring Ted Danson and Mark Helgenberger. So there's no doubt that that happened. What happened is we made a conscious decision to blow this stuff up in place in December of 1990. That's in Schwarzkopf's autobiography, It Doesn't Take a Hero, page 390. And so we have all this stuff happening.
Tell you what, stay there, Dr. Rocky and Joyce Riley. I'm Alex Jones. We'll be back. Just a lot more coming up. This is so important. Stay with us.
Hey. The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
We've got our guest 30 minutes into the next hour. We will have time to get to some of your calls. Just be patient. This is a big story. There's a lot of different facets to it, but I've looked at the Army's own video that Dr. Rocky helped put together. This is not our opinion. Dr. Continuing, I mean, clearly this is a weapon of mass destruction, is it not?
Correct. So with Gulf War II started around, the only nations that use weapons of mass destruction are Great Britain, Australia, and the United States. Deliberately taken solid radioactive waste, which in the form of depleted uranium munitions, contained in tank rounds, aircraft rounds, landmines, bunker busters, cruise missiles, and we blew the place apart. It's funny how when we say we're going to a nation to give them freedom, that we contaminate their air, water, and soil with solid radioactive munitions and radioactive waste, that the U.S. Army's own formal reports, the report from the United States Army Environmental Policy Institute to the Secretary of the Army stated that we cannot reduce the toxicity of uranium munitions. That's inherent properties.
How many tons were used in the first versus the second Gulf attacks?
The individual that issued the ammunition, because I worked with him, he is now sick, and it was a father and son. Father came over to help us clean up. The father's already dead. But that individual that issued estimated right around 375 tons. Now, that's 375 tons of solid uranium. That does not include all the other parts, you know, the other explosives and everything else. That is just the solid pieces of uranium. And then we did in the Balkans in 94 and 95, the estimates are around 30 tons. The Balkans in 99, 30 tons. We have Vieques, Puerto Rico, Afghanistan, the estimates are 1,000 tons. And then now in Gulf War II throughout Iraq, it's range where the Army has acknowledged some 200 tons just recently in the last few days, to over 1,000 tons, which makes sense based on how much was over there.
So is it 10 to 20 times? We're not sure.
It's true, but you have to come down to the fundamental thing. What right does any nation have to take solid radioactive waste, whether it be 1 pound or 1,000 pounds, take that and willfully disperse it into anybody else's backyard, into their houses, into their schoolyards, their mosques, their churches, refuse to clean up all the environmental contamination as is required by the Department of Defense directives, and refuse to provide medical care not only to the U.S. soldiers, which is what they're doing as we speak.
This is so wildly corrupt. I mean, how do you even get your mind around it? Joyce, now because of Dr. Rocky's work and your work, now the New York Daily News has done another big study. They paid some top people to look at this. Can you, both of you, tell us what's developed?
Well, I'm going to let Dr. Rocky talk about this because I think it's important that people understand from the source. But I just want to also say, please understand how serious this is. These troops are not just sick, they are dying. Dr. Rocky is sick himself. Listeners, this is a huge problem. It's not going away. And I just, I cannot thank you enough, Doug, for what you're doing.
What has happened is the New York National Guard's 442nd Military Police Unit was deployed to Iraq, to Samarra. They were deployed into an area where uranium munitions had been heavily used. The Dutch troops confirmed the uranium contamination there. The Japanese troops confirmed the uranium contamination there. Congressional investigators sent by from our U.S. Congress confirmed the contamination there. And what happened is these soldiers did not receive the mandated required training that has been required by written directives since forever, and I actually have to understand I put that together. And then what happened upon that, once they were exposed, they did not wear the respiratory and skin protection required by the United States Army's Common Task Training Manual. And then once they were exposed, the U.S. military did not give them the medical care within the 24 to 48 hours that is mandated by U.S. Army directive issued on October 14th of 1993.
We got a break. When we get back, we'll talk about the study that was done and what happened when you're studying in Australia and all of this. There's so much. Then we'll get to your calls as well. Second hour straight ahead. We'll be back. Help.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right. It is the 6th of April, 2004. On this Tuesday, I'm Alex Jones. We're joined by U.S. Army Major and former head of the Pentagon's Depleted Uranium Project, Dr. Doug Rocky. And he's been presenting the updated findings on depleted uranium casualties from the Gulf War. And he's exposing some of the latest developments. The top scientist, the New York Daily News, paid to have him look at just one group of troops, and they found very high levels of depleted uranium. We're talking about that. Quite a few of our stations just carry the second 2 hours. So Dr. Rocky and Captain Joyce Riley, who are both joining us, can you just in a few minutes, for those that just joined us, recap? Let's say you just got 2 minutes to talk to a jury. Just recap basically what we're dealing with, what's happening, and then let's continue where we left off.
What has basically happened is the United States Department of Defense, the British Ministry of Defense, the Australian, have used solid radioactive munitions, uranium, in order to go to battle and win the wars. And as a consequence, they have contaminated air, water, and soil and food throughout Iraq, Afghanistan, the Balkans, the United States, and all over the place. They are refusing to provide the medical care mandated and required by their own Department of Defense directives, U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs directives, and they're refusing to clean up this radiological contamination that is toxic. And as the U.S. Army stated in their own report to the Secretary of the Army, that you cannot reduce the toxicity of the munitions.
And so you're sick. Many others are sick. People are dying. Any estimates on the number of dead?
Well, that's a good question. When you put all the contaminants from war, the uranium contamination, there's no good figures. We do know from all of the exposures from Gulf War I, of all the individuals served in the Persian Gulf, according to the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs reports, of those people who went into the Persian Gulf from August of 1990 through May of 2002, over 221,000 of our nation's sons and daughters are permanently disabled, and well over 10,000 are dead that had service-connected injuries and illnesses and everything else.
Now, front page, New York Daily News, poisoned, shocking report reveals local troops may be victims of America's high-tech weapons. They had other scientists look at this. What did they find, Doctor?
Now, what had happened is members of the 442nd New York National Guard Military Police Unit were put into a contaminated area, absolutely confirmed contamination. The Department of Defense, the individuals at Walter Reed Hospital, and the hospital at Fort Dix refused to provide these individuals medical care. When they reported the kidney problems, the headaches, fatigue, shortness of breath, nausea, dizziness, joint pain, and frequent urination. As a consequence, they went for help to the New York Daily News. The leaders of the New York Daily News said, well, our government, our Department of Defense, and VA have abandoned our troops, that our sons and daughters that we sent to war. Therefore, we are going to pay for their medical tests. These medical tests were done by U.S. Army Colonel retired Asif Durakovich, who was the U.S. Army's foremost expert on radiation exposures and injuries and health, not only for the U.S. Army, but for the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. His testing confirmed based that my test and my work and my recommendations are absolutely correct. The uranium dust and oxide will be resuspended, can be inhaled, ingested, absorbed, and individuals that are exposed will get sick. So this is totally confirmed. And what has happened now is, after this broke loose, and they reported in the New York Daily News, the Army jumped all over these kids, and they came down on them like the plague. Why did you go outside the system? How come you went for medical care? Well, it's real simple. The President of the United States, the Vice President, the Secretary of Defense, and everybody, the Secretary of the VA, failed to provide care for our soldiers. That's totally documented in the congressional hearings last Tuesday before the Shays Commission. The Department of Defense did not provide our sons and daughters a thorough pre-deployment physical assessment prior to sent to the Gulf for Gulf War II.
And they know from your studies and the research and their own training videos from the mid-90s that depleted uranium does this.
Well, yeah, we got sick, and it's in our medical records, but they deny that it is.
Okay, Dr. Rocky, Captain Joyce Riley, stay there. I want to get into the cover-up, where all this is going, and then take some calls. There's a lot of facets we haven't gotten to yet. This is one of the biggest stories of the new millennium.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome back, my friends. 8 minutes into the second hour. You cannot overstate the credentials. The man who literally wrote the book on depleted uranium, been in the military for 36 years, Dr. Doug Rocky, U.S. Army major and former head of the Pentagon's depleted uranium project. And now they've had other scientists. The New York Daily News has paid for scientists, a former top military scientist, to look at this. This is killing the troops. And this time, they blasted almost every town and city, not just areas in the desert, in Iraq, and used, depending on the numbers, 10 to 20 times the amount used in the first Gulf War. They've used it at a whole bunch of different testing sites here in the U.S. with creeks running right to the middle of it. It's in the air. It'll never go away. Millions and millions of years. So basically forever in the scale of human civilization. And there's been an ongoing, I wouldn't even call it a cover-up. They just don't respond to it. And they're going to continue to use it. Now, other countries are saying they're going to use it. It's proliferating. And then we talk about invading Iraq for weapons of mass destruction that we sold them that they never used, other than the sanctioned use against the Kurds, which was wrong. And we got a bunch of callers here for you, but Captain Joyce Riley, you've been on this issue, pushing it from day one. I know you want to give Dr. Rocky all the credit, and he certainly deserves it. He's very sick from it. But before we get back into what the top scientists said in the New York Daily News about this and the information that Dr. Rocky got with his study of the Australian troops that have been brought into harm's way as well, any key facets of this or avenues you think we should explore, Joyce?
Well, I think that the listeners need to understand that he is being challenged by the Pentagon right now. They are making his life miserable. They're attacking us. They're attacking anybody who's coming forward. And we need to support him, and we need to contact our congressman and the White House.
Well, every time we talk about this, we get denial of service attacks on the websites.
Yes, it is incredible what is taking place. And I just want to say that I just received from England, from Tony Flint at the U.K., he says, if Bush is going to send more troops to Iraq, he is sending them to their deaths, not from bombs and bullets, but from depleted uranium poisoning. He already knows that his forces are coming back ill from DU poisoning, therefore he is committing murder. That's the British Gulf War Veterans Association response to this story. So I'll turn it over to Dr. Rocky, and I want to
ask you both this question, and then we can move on and take some calls, because I've obviously got to do more on this in the future because there's so many facets to it, but back to the psychology. They know it's bad. The top scientists come out and say it's bad. The troops are dying from it, but the elite just sit there and continue this. And I think it's bigger than just, you know, defeating some enemy, because they got weapons that'll do that without this. What is it about the globalists with the vaccines and the stuff in the water supply and the genetically engineered crops? All of it. They know it's all disastrous. They know it's horrible, and they seem to sadistically enjoy this like they're devils literally out of the pit of hell. Doctor, do you have any comments to the psychology of this?
Well, I'd like to go back to the fundamentals. You have to understand, I've been in two wars, and I've done my share of killing, and I've done my share of saving lives, and my job right now is to save lives. But in March of 1991, I received a memorandum from the Los Alamos, New Mexico, from Colonel Michael Z. This came through the Army official chain of command. And I want to read this because this reveals this. And you have to understand, the purpose of war is to kill and destroy. The soldier, the warrior, is going to use the most effective tool with total disregard for health and the environmental effects. And this is the memorandum that I received that has driven everything from day one. Quote, the effectiveness of depleted uranium penetrators. There is relatively a small amount of lethality data for uranium penetrators, either the tank-fired long version or the Gowie 8-round fired from the A-10 close air support aircraft. The recent war has likely multiplied the number of depleted uranium rounds fired at targets by orders of magnitude. It is believed the depleted uranium penetrators were very effective against Iraqi armor. However, assessment of such will have to be made. There has been and continues to be a concern regarding the impact of depleted uranium on the environment. Therefore, if no one makes a case for the effectiveness of depleted uranium on the battlefield, depleted uranium rounds may become politically unacceptable and thus be deleted from our arsenal. If depleted uranium penetrators prove their worth during our recent combat activities, then we should assure their future existence through service and Department of Defense proponency. If proponency is not garnered, it's possible we stand to lose a valuable combat capability. I believe we should keep this sensitive issue in mind whenever after action reports are written. Respectfully, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Zeem, 1 March 1990.
So that's saying, let's cover this up because this is a good weapon, but we don't build guns that when you shoot a bullet at the enemy, they shoot one back into your head. And, oh, well, it kills our troops, it kills them. And you certainly don't do something that kills the civilians for thousands of years after it's used. I mean, this is insanity.
Well, that's exactly correct. And at the same time, I received another official memorandum through the U.S. Army from the commanding general. You have to understand, that's Norman G., okay? And this came down from Colonel Gregory Lyle, the Defense Nuclear Agency. Quote, alpha particles, uranium oxide dust from expended round is a health concern, but beta particles and fragments from intact rounds is a serious health threat. Cut and dry. And then in 1992, we received a directive from the Assistant Secretary of the Army, Lewis D. Walker, and indirect this quote, Senate Appropriations Committee Report Number 102408 contains specific language directing your institute, that's the United States Army Environmental Policy Institute, to conduct a study on the health and environmental consequences of depleted uranium on the battlefield, remediation technologies which might develop, and the ways in which the toxicity of depleted uranium might be reduced.
So the government will arrest somebody for dumping motor oil in a stream, but they're using it at testing grounds all over the country. They're blasting multiple civilizations with it. Our troops are breathing it, dead and dying, and the average yuppie doesn't even know what depleted uranium is, Doctor.
That is absolutely correct. It's arrogance beyond comprehension. And it comes down to the fundamental thing. You'll hear the stories in the government, the Department of Defense, and they'll say, well, prove that there's health and environmental effects. And I go, wait a minute. Where's your right to take radioactive waste and throw it all over another nation? Where if you're in the United States, if you were to take one single penetrator, 10 pounds, and throw it into a backyard, a church, a schoolyard, you're going to go to jail.
Well, look, if one of these Muslim supposed terrorists, people supposedly doing all this terrorism, that's what they say a dirty bomb is stuff out of X-ray machines, not even as radioactive, tied to some dynamite, blow that up, they say, oh, hundreds of square blocks, no one can live in it. But suddenly with something far worse, oh, it's wonderful.
Again, it's the purpose to kill and destroy. And when I was tasked to put this, clean this mess up and do the research, I first went in there as a warrior saying, okay, I need to figure out they're going to use it.
Let me stop you, Doctor, because I've got to stop you, because in the early 90s, they're a little concerned and want you to go clean it up, and you get sick from it. Now they don't even seem to care. Where is that disconnect? It seems like they're getting crazier by the minute.
The purpose is kill and destroy with total disregard for the health and the environmental effects on God's children, Allah's children, the children of the world. They don't care.
Okay, go back. I'm sorry for interrupting.
They just don't care.
Back to the point you were making. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, this is all, Joyce, there's so many facets to this. It's just so incredible, I guess.
You know, Alex, you know, until you meet these people, like I had the honor of meeting with Doug last week. We had Bob from Bob Jones, and we had Mark from Georgia come and visit us this past week. And I will tell you that once you have prayed with them, cried with them, seen what they're going through, you have no idea. And it's awful when you put a face to these people and you find out what wonderful people they are. They are dying, and it is our sons and daughters, and it's our world.
But, I mean, both Gulf Wars, not many of our troops get killed by the enemy, but then from the vaccines and the uranium, tens of thousands die and get sick.
Absolutely correct, and we totally disregard. This is the Agent Orange of the 90s and the 1000s. It's absolutely, and when I was in Vietnam, Agent Orange, and it's still Agent Orange, has taken a devastating toll on the U.S. forces, the Allied forces, and it's taken a devastating toll on the Vietnamese. And now we've done the same thing with uranium. Yeah, I mean, it's so simple. Again, what right does any nation have to take radioactive waste, chemical waste, biological waste, and throw it in somebody else's backyard willfully and deliberately?
So how is the Pentagon going to deal now with their former top colonel, their top scientist, saying, yes, I've tested them, the troops have radiation poisoning?
Well, you know, it's pretty simple. What they do, and Joyce has seen this, they put out a memorandum to the media and the press saying, well, Dr. Colonel Asadorakovich and Dr. Major Doug Rocky did not do the work. They were not there. They're not sick. There's no problems.
That's
so
right.
So they use executive authority to lie.
And it doesn't matter if there's Associated Press articles with you there in the 90s as the head guy. Doesn't matter if there's all the photos and video and you're in the registry as that. They'll just lie to the media and say you don't even exist.
Absolutely correct. And what's happened with our troops and soldiers at the National Record Center in St. Louis, Missouri, where all military records are maintained, the personnel and medical records, my own and my staff's, are gone. They've been destroyed.
Well, it's like Bush's records. Somebody grabs them, then suddenly they expunge them. This is so... But how are they going to ignore the New York Daily News?
Well, you know, the New York Daily News right now, that staff needs to have every kudo from every mother, father, son, and daughter. Because when the Department of Defense refused to provide medical care, they stood up and said, we're taking care of the sons and daughters of New York. God bless the New York Daily News and that staff. They should get the Medal of Honor for doing what our leaders have not done.
Isn't it also that now they've used it and they've got to keep using it? You know, the CDC with the thimerosal and their own documents that just got released said, well, it's brain damaging millions, but we've got to cover this up because it'd be too big.
Absolutely. The cost is astronomical because, you know, when you asked the question before, and it comes down to the fundamental thing, and as an environmental scientist, an engineer has taught all this stuff and done this for many, many years, our technology is out of control. Inorganic, organic compounds, heavy metals, biologicals, we've contaminated air, water, soil, and food. We do not have the ability to provide medical care, and we're seeing the health and environmental consequences because we wanted to have life simple while we disregarded the effects of technology. That's what this is all about.
And now we're paying the piper, but instead of going back and turning back, they seem to be accelerating.
Well, that's what you do when you don't want to cover it up and acknowledge what you did. You keep going in the wrong direction. Well, I'm here to say it's time to stop the nonsense.
I tell you what, we got loaded phone lines for you guys. I'm going to come back and take some calls. Is it possible to maybe keep both of you another 20 minutes?
Hey, we'll stay as long as you want.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to ask Paul Watson then to join us at about 45 after. Instead of 30 after, because we've got a bunch of other news coming up. But I want to come back now and take calls. We've obviously got to have Captain Joyce Riley and Dr. Rocky back on, but a lot more coming up. This is so big. Stay with us.
I got a star.
All right, we're talking to the U.S. Army Major and former head of the Pentagon's Uranium Project, Dr. Doug Rocky. Captain Joyce Riley, also on the forefront of this fight for many years, joining us. Bunch of phone calls here to get to. Let's go ahead and talk to Bill in Ohio. Bill, go ahead. You're on the air.
How are you doing? Listen, I just wanted to ask a question from your guest. He said something about this stuff going into products that are being sold commercially. It kind of is worrisome. Are you suggesting that if I go out to a building supply store and pick up one of these 30-pound bags of a gray powder or a mix, he'll mix it up with some sand and some water and make a stone for the patio or for the walk, that I can put a Geiger counter next to that after it hardens and it's going to kick the needles?
If you purchase a product called DU-Crete, yes, it will.
Just that one?
Yeah, that's the product. And I'm not sure what else they're putting into it. That is the one product that we absolutely got confirmed.
Now, think about how off the charts. What else is the government allowing?
Yeah.
And you're telling me, is DU-Crete in a powder form?
Yeah, it's like buying saccharine.
That is insane, because that's what makes it so deadly. If there's just a block of it, you're going to get some of it. But isn't it, Doctor, what's deadly is the aerosolizing of it?
Yeah, it's the aerosolizing of the dust and all the other particulates, the whole mixture that gets into the lungs and fine particulates.
And so they put it out as a product in a dust form. Oh, that's even better. I mean, this is so rich.
Well, on top of that, you know, we've got all the destroyed and, you know, contaminated equipment that's been, you know, collected and recycled. So we absolutely got DU-contaminated metal coming back in car bumpers. We even had it show up in U.S. Navy cooking pots. U.S. Navy called and said, we got some, we measured, and I called, get rid of the cooking pot. You can't serve the food in that.
But folks, this is on purpose. Who's the enemy? The Patriots are. Go ahead and finish up, Bill.
Well, that's all. I could hardly believe my ears when I heard him saying that.
Well, you're listening to the guy who wrote the book for the Pentagon. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Let's talk to Rusty in Texas. Rusty, you're in the Twilight Zone. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, Alex. You've talked to me before, and Joyce knows me. I'm a sick Gulf War vet.
Yes.
And I talked to y'all that day that you had Oliver North on your show.
Yeah, when he was giggling about all this.
And I sent you and Joyce both them pictures. Did y'all get those?
Yes, I did.
Okay, if you notice the picture that I took, a picture of the dirt on the back of the bus. The reason I did that is because the dirt was a different color, the sand, and it looked different. And as you can tell, the tire tracks on the bus, that's the reason I took pictures of that.
Okay, for those that don't know, explain what you're saying.
Okay, I was on the USS LaSalle AGF-3, and it was immediately following the war. And we went in to help do some cleanup and to help rebuild some schools and everything. And I was taken out to Death Mile, and we went through the tanks, climbed all over the tanks. There's exploded, unexploded ammunition all over the ground, not including all of the destruction that happened there.
You should have never been in that thing without respiratory and skin protection. Even then, it wouldn't protect you.
Right. And now,
I've seen the photos all over the news of troops climbing around with the dead bodies.
Yeah, kind of like y'all come. You hear, and those, a lot of those guys are sick and dead. Terry Reardon out of Canada. They got other ones that are sick and dead. We did a 60 Minutes back on December 26th of 99. Where individuals are tours of us. They're sick. Absolutely confirmed hot.
So they didn't tell you to put on gear, Rusty. They just said, come on out.
They just said, come on out. And they loaded us up in them buses, and off we went. And if you were to type in USS LaSalle AGF-3 in your search engine on the Internet, it'll take you and it'll show you some newspaper clippings of some people that I was with on the bus that were actually had their pictures taken in the newspaper sitting inside of the blown-up tanks.
Have you ever received the depleted uranium medical care and test radio bioassay for exposure?
No, sir, not that I know of.
You need to call the United States Department of Veteran Affairs and demand it, because you were at the highway of death, and don't take no for an answer.
Right.
All right. Rusty, I appreciate the call. And, you know, we get call after call like that, Joyce.
Yes, yes, and they are so in need of assistance and help, and I just hope that this is waking people up to the real significance of this problem.
They can learn more about it at thepowerhour.com. Let's go ahead and talk to John in Tennessee. John, go ahead.
From my experience with Gulf War disability, the civil courts have failed, the VA court and Social Security courts are a fraud, and civilian doctors and insurance companies refuse treatment. Congress has so far refused to impeach the executive branch. They censor their own reports from the public and refuse to budget for medical cures. Now, the federal government and its contractors are obviously criminal perpetrators of dozens of different felonies like fraud, assault, and murder of American military and civilian. My question is, do you know of any citizens or prosecutors who are now preparing criminal charges in federal or state courts?
Okay, great questions. Thanks, John. We'll come back another 10, 15 minutes with our guest. We'll take some more calls at 800-259-9231. For others that want to talk about other issues, we'll get to you later. 1-800-259-9231. Got Paul Watson coming up with the News Blitz as well. Don't want to miss this show. All right, we'll take a couple more calls for our guest here in a few minutes at 800-259-9231. But to answer that question, Dr. Rocky and Joyce Riley, there should be criminal charges for all of this. Who would be the parties who should be indicted for this mass assault with a weapon of mass destruction? Who should be indicted, in your educated opinion, both of you?
The international tribunals have been conducted. You can go to our website, www.traprockpeace.org.
Oh, I should have plugged that earlier. Give that website out again.
www.traprockpeace.org, and you can read the results of the international tribunals. The other one you can go to is the www.unobserver.org, and you can pull it up there.
But again, they're just rubber stamps of the same global system. What are they saying?
Well, no, not the UN Observer. They're yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs, like the United States Subcommission on Human Rights and the work of Karen Parker, that have said this is totally illegal and there has to be liability.
What did Congress say in the hearings last week?
Well, in the hearings last week, Secretary of Defense Winkenwerder confirmed, number one, that the casualty count, those medically evacuated out of Iraq as of last Tuesday morning, there were 18,004 of America's sons and daughters casualties that have been evacuated out of Iraq. That does not count the over 630 or 40 that have been killed in theater, hundreds that have died once they got home, and hundreds upon hundreds, if not thousands, that got sick and injured and stayed in theater and were not deployed, what we call first and second echelon medical care.
So who was culpable? Who knew about this and made the order, made the decision? When you read that memorandum from out in Los Alamos, where they were saying, it doesn't matter if it's bad, let's go ahead and use it. But who is guilty?
Well, Well, we go through multiple generations, you know, multiple administrations, but right now President George W. Bush, Secretary of State Dick Cheney. By the way, in 1992, I was ordered and directed by the U.S. Army on directive of Madeleine Albright to do the cleanup plan for Halliburton and Brown & Root, Dick Cheney's company. And everybody knows they got it, and they've been, you know, whatever they've been doing, ripping everybody off.
So they even get the contracts to do it and then don't do it.
Absolutely correct. And then we got Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld. We got Secretary of State Powell. We just go on down, and right now the individual that's basically supposed to have responsibility for ensuring medical care is provided for our troops, that's Dr. Michael Kilpatrick and Dr. Winkenwerder. They've confirmed that they didn't give the pre-deployment or post-deployment physicals. They have confirmed that troops were sent to Iraq that were not qualified, and they have died over there and been brought back worse and worse medical shape.
And who blocked showing the video that's been out since 95 that was made by the Army for the troops?
Well, that basically it's stopped by the Secretary of Defense, where they want to ensure that uranium munitions are always used per the Los Alamos memo without any liability.
So by showing that video that was produced by people like yourself doing the right thing, by showing that, they would show culpability and prior knowledge.
Absolutely. But one of the most astonishing things is, back on March 30th of 1998, one of our nation's foremost journalists sent a letter to Jim Stube, the United States Army Public Affairs, and asked multiple questions. One question, this is astonishing because it reveals everything. Quote, Army Regulation 40-5 says, all actual or alleged overexposure to ionizing radiation will be investigated and reported under Army Regulation 40-14 and Army Regulation 385-40. How many such incidents were investigated and reported during the Gulf War and after? The direct response from the U.S. Army's foremost Army radiation safety officer at that time said, quote, overexposure is not applicable to the deployed Army.
So magically, it just doesn't count. It's like you're invisible.
It doesn't count because of the fact we're going to war. What happens to our sons and daughters is what everybody has been saying, and what Dave's Joyce's other half song says, you're totally expendable. You're abandoned.
So it's horrible when four civilian mercs get hung up dead, and it is horrible.
Yeah, but you understand, those were mercenaries.
Yeah, but it's wonderful when our troops get sick. It's just a good thing.
You know, let me just add, Alex, I think this is why they're building the walls around Washington right now, is the American public is now coming to grips with just how serious this is. And if we can keep Dr. Rocky going around this country and telling the truth and on the radio, then we're going to be able to really infuriate a lot of people. So they've got to now start protecting the government so that we cannot get to them.
They're turning everything into an armored compound.
That's right. That's right. For this reason, I believe. Because people are not going to accept this when they understand the full weight of it.
Well, I mean, how did they knowingly use all these dirty bombs, you know, millions of dirty bombs, that's what it is, all over the globe, and just right out in plain view? I mean, it's psychotic.
Yes, it is. It's a crime against God. It's a crime against humanity, and they must be held accountable.
What type of, before we go to some more calls, what type of health effects have you had, Doctor?
Well, this ain't about me, but I got sick within 24 hours of rash in the respiratory, cataracts, kidney problems, neurological problems. I mean, it's just deteriorated on down. I mean, when I was in for medical care at the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs last Thursday is when I came across, as I mentioned early, totally confirming that only 262 individuals have ever received the DU assessment.
And within months, your teammates started getting nasal cancers, you name it.
Yeah, the first nasal pharyngeal cancer happened in one of our team members within 9 months, and the first lung cancers and death were in several years, a couple years.
So it just sits there literally mutating the cells.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not just the U.S. troops. We have to look at all the women and children of Iraq, of Vieques, Puerto Rico, of Okinawa, of Indiana. And what's really astonishing, you can absolutely verify this because it was on the AP Wire story. Our nation was born on the 18th of April in 1775 at Concord, Massachusetts, correct?
Yes.
That city, Concord, Massachusetts, has devastating cancers and health effects from the manufacturing of uranium munitions at the StarMet plant.
Now let's talk about that, because it's not just the plants, it's also proving grounds where they test this, where you've tested this stuff. And I've read the reports where there's streams, open water. I mean, they're just doing this right out in the open.
Yeah, over here in Jefferson Proving Ground in Indiana, the U.S. Army shot the place up. The health effects are all around. A year ago, the U.S. Army went to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and point-blank asked for an exemption from cleaning it up because it's so contaminated and so dangerous to go in there. Well, they can't clean up Jefferson Proving Ground in Indiana where the health effects are all around or all these other locations, but yet they take tons and tons in Afghanistan, Iraq, the Balkans, Vieques, Puerto Rico, and they ignore the health and environmental effects, refuse to clean it up, refuse to provide medical care.
Let's take three final calls, and I'm obviously going to have you back on, Doctor, and have Joyce on to go over her research on this. But David in South Carolina. Go ahead, David.
Thank you very much, Alex. I've got a question for Dr. Roki. An Admiral Vishnu Bhagwat, former Chief of Staff, Naval Staff India, posted a position paper on February 29th and it's entitled Silent WMD's Effects of Depleted Uranium. Have you seen that position paper, Dr. Rook?
Yes, I have seen the position paper. He had asked for some of our primary research and everything that we were able to provide him. And from his total knowledge as a senior admiral specializing in nuclear weapons, he posted his paper as a result of a world conference that was held in India. I did
and
not
also,
participate, but I know people that did.
We also have the New York Daily News with its own study with scientists. They tested the troops. They do indeed have radiation poisoning.
Right. Now, my question is whether you agree with his assessment that the radiation levels that we spread around Iraq is equal to 250,000 Nagasaki-type bombs.
He said
250.
You know, again, that's a real good, you know, the question is, you have to look at, do I have the internalized exposure or the external exposure? With all the radioactive materials, when we're looking at, you know, probably upwards of 1,000 tons now over that whole area, you know, when you translate to the inside, you got serious problems. Now, I don't know exactly on that stuff, okay?
Yeah.
But it comes down to the fundamental question. What right does anybody have to take tons and tons of solid radioactive waste that can be inhaled, ingested, and absorbed that does give off serious radiation once it's in the body or contact with the body?
Now, Doctor, I'm going from memory, but I believe CBS reported last year that it is a 500 million year half-life.
Well, it's four and a half billion years. But what you have is
the half-life is 500 million, right?
Yeah, the actual uranium, the piece of uranium, the DU, emits beta and gamma 300 millirems per hour within 4 to 6 inches. Now, if you have that inside of your body, it doesn't matter how big or small it is, the same radiation. You're at 300 millirems per hour. It doesn't take a whole lot of hours to get to a high level.
Well, I saw one scientist liken it to living inside an X-ray machine.
That's exactly, probably pretty accurate. And then the alpha particles are at, we're looking at 10,000 counts per minute. And what happens, this is even confirmed by the United States Army's own researcher, but it's been presented, what you do when you hit one cell, you damage all the other cells around you. And that's the reason why we understand this. You have to understand the intercellular voltage, how a cell operates, is at 10 electron volts.
It's electrochemical.
Correct. It's 10 electron volts. One single alpha particle from DU is at 4.5 million electron volts.
So it's short circuits.
It's like sticking your finger in a super outlet and just getting zapped while you're standing in a puddle of water.
Well, this admiral also said that just one speck of DU contaminated dust ingested will cause, will give you, permanent disease, permanent disability.
That's absolutely correct. If you go to the work that was done at Oak Ridge National Labs and look at the lung cross sections from the inhalation of one particle, you see the hot particle work. That's absolutely there.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for the call, David. Real quick, Brock in Canada. Brock, go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Wanted to ask what is the purpose of contaminating the troops like this? I mean, they come home, they'll contaminate their families and anyone that comes into contact with them. What are these psychotic bleepity bleeps trying to pull by damaging the troops, exposing them to this garbage?
That's a good way to put it. Psychotic bleepity bleeps. How do we know the psychotic bleepity bleeps?
They don't care. The purpose is to kill and destroy, and they totally disregard the health and environmental effects.
Well, if it's so good and they're selling it at major stores, how about we have public officials then wallow and snort the DU crete?
Well, that's not a bad idea.
And they also are making golf clubs out of this now, too. So I think people need to be aware of that. And every time you chip off that club, you may very well be breathing it.
Well, what's the purpose? And you know, I mean, our troops are to go over and...
Well, why did Bill Clinton knowingly for 8 years after it was illegal ship millions of dollars of blood out of the prisons all over the planet knowing it had HIV and hepatitis? I mean, why did they do it? Because they're demonic filth brains.
You know, that comes up to an extremely important point. With over 250,000 Gulf War I veterans sick, now over 20,000 Gulf War II veterans sick, we need to ensure that our blood supply in our nation is not derived from that 260 or 70,000, 300,000 military veterans that were exposed to all these immunizations.
And the troops are the people that like to sacrifice. They're the ones out giving the blood.
Yeah, well, guess what? There's no way in heck I'd ever take any blood from myself or any of us that have been exposed to this stuff because you're asking for a nightmare.
That's right.
Oh, that's a whole other issue we just came... Oh, my goodness. Thanks for the call, Brock. Last caller. Who's next in line there? Lou in Colorado. Last caller for our guest, and we got Paul Watson coming up. Go ahead, Lou.
How you doing? I got a question for the doctor. I was in Germany in the early 80s, a combat engineer. And our higher-ups would encourage us to go in the gas chamber without our masks on for a half a day off in the field.
Mm.
And I look back at it, and I feel that we were kind of an experiment. And
well,
I'm
they admit
sure.
They've done thousands of tests. Go ahead.
And I'm just not sure.
I mean, the New York Daily News reported a few days ago that CPS grabs kids and tests stuff on them in New York. So, you know, don't think they won't do it to full-grown adults. Doctor, any comments?
Well, it's absolutely correct, and that's wrong, because it's been known with those exposures to the CS and everything else that it would cause respiratory and eye problems. That's absolutely confirmed in medical literature.
It's been banned by the Geneva Convention for use against foreign enemies.
Well, you have to understand, the United States Department of Defense and multiple presidents did and continually implement Project Shad. Project Shad is deliberate use of chemical and biological munitions against U.S. citizens throughout the United States and Canada. It's an ongoing thing. It's happened before. The Department of Defense, the same guy involved in covering up the depleted uranium, was involved in covering up Project Shad. The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs has filed a lawsuit against the Department of Defense saying, you have to tell us all the chemical and biological you used on the civilians and the military personnel so we can treat them. The same guy involved in cover-up is saying, I'm not going to tell you what we did.
All right, we got to leave it there. Lou, go ahead.
Is it safe to say that they're basically using the people that serve our country and defend our country as guinea pigs for their own experiments and knowledge?
I got a T-shirt from the U.S. Army that says that.
Yeah, the Project Shad has admitted they've sprayed major states, major cities that have troops sit out on a boat and fly over and spray anthrax on them or sarin and then give them the supposed antidotes and watch them flop around. I mean, this is what they think of you. In one case, the BBC reported in 85, one of the last supposed Shad tests, you know, before it got reclassified, they had a bunch of U.S. and British troops stand out in the field, flew over and sprayed them, and some died that day. I mean, they just bug spray us like we're cockroaches.
And now, let me just give a couple of predictions here. I think you're going to see more pandemonium breaking out in the Middle East as well as here at home. And number two...
Well, top generals are saying that it's going to be civil war. I'm sorry, Joyce.
Yeah, and they're going to start trying to get rid of these people and downsize the military very fast because they don't want these sick people in the military. So I think you're going to start seeing that very soon.
Now, Joyce, anything else you want? I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, I just want to say thank you very much. And GulfWarVets.com website, along with TrapRockPeace.org, got to get everybody the kind of information they need. And thank you very much again, Dr. Rocky.
Alex, doctor, any closing comments?
Yes, I'd like to have every mother, father, son, daughter, husband, wife, aunt, uncle, grandparent call the President of the United States.
Oh, we meant to do that.
And demand accountability and that their troops are taken care of. The citizens of the world are taken care of. They clean up all this contamination, and they cease the use of uranium munitions immediately.
Joyce, do you have the numbers of the White House in front of you?
No, I don't, unfortunately.
I said I'd bring those, and of course I didn't. In the next hour, we'll get those and give those out. But
call your congressman. Call your senator. I mean, and the other thing, too, is we got to give kudos to the New York Daily Times today for taking medical care for the New York troops that were affected, that were denied medical care by the United States Department of Defense. My hat as a warrior goes off to the leaders of the New York Daily News. God bless that paper.
Well, Dr. Rocky, I mean, you served for 36 years for the U.S. military. You did a great job. You were their head guy. And there's a lot of other good people like you in there. I mean, what are they saying when you talk to them that are still in?
Well, too many of them can't talk to us anymore because, like us, they'll never work again. Like me, I haven't worked for years. You can't get a job. Even though they care, they'll help from within side, but they can't do anything long. Because as you see right now, it's all over the news. Anybody that speaks up, whether it was Paul O'Neill, Richard Clark, Denise Nichols, Asa Dorakovich, Andres Carnegie Bob, Joyce Riley, anybody that speaks up, you become under immediate attack from the individuals in the White House and the Pentagon, and your life is destroyed.
But how do these guys who were attacking in the Pentagon live with themselves? They're murderers of their own citizens.
They don't care.
I hear you. Dr. Rocky, Joyce Riley, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Alex.
Great job. We'll have you both back on. We'll come back with Paul Joseph Watson, a bunch of other news, and your calls. Stay with us.